Next, we'll hear the true story behind a prize-winning novel. It's the story of an American killed in World War I. Willa Cather told this story. She's a novelist known to generations of students for books like My Antonia, which is set on the Nebraska prairie. She also wrote a lot of personal letters, but banned their publication in her will.
Part of it was, I think, a management of her literary reputation, and part of it was a sense that evolved very late in her life that a writer should only be known through the artistic works they produced.
That's Andrew Jewell, who has now co-edited a book of Willa Cather's letters. Cather burned a few letters during her lifetime, but it became possible to publish the rest after her last literary executor died. The letters suggest what drove Cather to write about a mysteriously brave soldier. The book is called One of Ours. Despite the terms of her will, Jewell thinks Cather expected her remaining letters to eventually be published.
She didn't burn them, and in fact, in the last few years, a letter showed up where her niece, who had attended Willa Cather's funeral in New York, wrote to her family and said, "We must keep all of Aunt Willie's things safe from fire or something unexpected." And there's definitely this sense that there were precious materials that one day the world would want to see.
Okay, so we're going to read through and sort of annotate as we go.
Okay.
One of Willa Cather's letters. This is giving sort of the backstory of a novel she wrote and the true story on which it was based. Who's she writing to and what's the book?
The book is One of Ours, a novel that she won the Pulitzer Prize for, and she's writing to Dorothy Canfield Fisher. And Dorothy was a well-known writer and novelist herself in the day. This letter's from 1922.
Why don't you start off that letter for us?
"Dear Dorothy, yes, it will be classed as a war story, which means it will sell about 12,000, and God knows I never wanted to write a war story. I lost 6 months refraining from putting pen to paper on this one, but it stood between me and anything else."
Wow. We've already learned first that she's an exceedingly practical-minded writer. She has in her mind exactly how many copies this kind of book is going to sell.
Yes, and I think it's a little bit of a joke, you know, that she said she did not want this book to be marketed as a war story because she really thought it was not about the war. It was about this man, this boy and man whose character's name is Claude Wheeler. And she wanted to call the book Claude for a long time. And her publisher, Alfred Knopf, thought that would be a terrible title. And she was talked out of it and accepted the title One of Ours.
And we also learn here that she at least says she didn't even want to write this, but the subject forced her to write.
Yes, that's very consistent in Cather's way of discussing her writing. Once she became a mature writer, she always said she wrote about the subject she could not let go. There's a lot of, in some ways, practical reasons why she should not have written this book. That she was known by this point as a writer of Nebraska. You know, she had written My Antonia and O Pioneers by this point. And so to write a story about a young man who goes off to World War I is sort of out of her comfort zone.
So let's explain the true story behind the fiction. Read on from this letter of Willa Cather.
"It was like this. My cousin, Grosvenor, was born on the farm next my father's. I helped to take care of him when he was little. We are very much alike and very different. He could never escape from the misery of being himself except in action, and whatever he put his hand to turned out either ugly or ridiculous. There were years when we avoided each other. He had a contempt for my way of escape, and his own ways led to absurdities. I was staying on his father's farm when the war broke out. We spent the first week hauling wheat to town. On those long rides on the wheat, we talked for the first time in years, and I saw some of the things that were really in the back of his mind. I went away and forgot. I no more thought of writing a story about him than of writing about my own nose. It was all too painfully familiar. It was just to escape from him and his kind that I wrote at all."
This is, again, a brutally honest thing to say. Essentially, that she didn't even like this guy that she ended up becoming obsessed with and writing a book about.
And when you read the novel, you kind of get a sense of it. This character who, she says in a later book, well, it's part me, too, that this character, Claude Wheeler, who's based on Grosvenor, or also, he was also known as G.P. Cather, that he kind of was a person who was not a very strong person. He was intelligent but did not have good application of intelligence, did not have the confidence to make strong choices in his life. And Cather, as a woman who was so in control of her life, who was so confident in who she was from a very young age, I think had little interest in the kind of weakling that she understood her cousin to be. But it's to her credit that she saw him differently, you know, that she suddenly realized something about him and saw him with much more tenderness.
And in the next paragraph, she's going to describe what happened when he joined the army for World War I.
Yes, it continues. He went over in July 1917. He was killed at Cantigny, May 27th, on the next year. That anything so glorious could have happened to anyone so disinherited of hope. Timidly, angrily, he used to ask me about the geography of France on the wheat wagon. Well, he learned it, you see. I send you his citation. And I might stop here and add that he was the first officer from Nebraska killed in World War I, and he was given a citation for his bravery. He stood on a hill and directed fire toward the enemies, exposing himself to the guns and dying.
This man that she remembered as timid was courageous.
Yes.
Under fire.
Yes, and this was the great mystery, I think. I think it was a human mystery that this happened to her cousin.
Now the letter goes on to say how Willa Cather discovered his death.
Yes. I first came on it in the morning paper when I was having my hair shampooed in a hairdresser's shop. From that on, he was in my mind. The too personalness, the embarrassment of kinship was gone. But he was in my mind so much that I couldn't get through him to other things. It wasn't affection, but realization so acute that I could not get away from it. I never meant to write a story with a man for the central figure, but with this boy, I was all mixed up by accident of birth. Some of me was buried with him in France, and some of him was left alive in me.
Those are sentences powerful enough to have gone in the novel.
Yes. That is something that I think is true throughout her letters, that, you know, a letter, because it's a quickly written piece of correspondence to somebody, will contain some crude sentences and some asides that are kind of about the news of the day, but then things like that will be there too. And you realize that this wonderful writer left wonderful words in her letters to all sorts of friends and family, and it's a joy to read them. And it also brings such insight into the emotional life that gave birth to these great works of literature.
Andrew Jewell is an associate professor at the University of Nebraska-Lincoln and co-editor of The Selected Letters of Willa Cather. Thanks very much.
Thank you so much.